then we're going to move to Luke chapter 18. And Jesus, perceiving the thought of their heart, took a child and set him by him and said unto them, whosoever shall receive this child in my name receiveth me. If you want Jesus, you better receive a child. And whosoever shall receive me receiveth him that sent me. For he that is least among you all, the same shall be great. And then chapter 18 and verse 16. But Jesus called them unto him and said, suffer little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein. My favorite preacher, Brother J.T. Pugh, preached a powerful message called God's Noisy Kingdom. And he said this, he said that church was never meant to be quiet, somber, solemn. In fact, the greatest reverence you can give God is to celebrate. Oh, clap your hands, all ye people, and lift your voices with a voice of triumph. We come into the house of God, we sing, and we dance, and we run, and we leap, and we praise. Hallelujah. God's kingdom is noisy. On the day of Pentecost, there came a sound. Amen. And it wasn't long until they were so loud, speaking with tongues, that it filled all of Jerusalem with the sound of it. And they came to hear what it was all about. Amen. Oh, I'm glad God's kingdom is not a quiet kingdom. I'm glad we're not sitting with our hands folded today hoping to feel something. But oh, I feel the Holy Ghost in the house today. Woo! Hallelujah! The prophet said, it's like fire shut up in my bones. Hallelujah! I can't sit still when I get in the presence of God. Woo! Glory! So with that said, while you are still standing, I'm going to create a little chaos. Can I create a little chaos in this place? I would like every child from, if you're 11 years old and under, and if you have children sitting with you, our volunteers, we already have some volunteers that are helping us today. I want you to come as well and help us. I want you to come, all the children, 11 and down, I want you to come and line up across this front. Come up on the steps. Start right here. Age by years, Brother Jordan. Years, years. Just keep standing. They're going to come. All the kids all across this place. I see a young man right here. I know you're under 11, right? Or you're 12? You must be taller standing up than you are sitting down. There you go. Sorry about that. All right, just come and stand. I want you to look at this. Look at these faces. When I was 4 years old, my Sunday school taught me, my Sunday school teacher taught me, well, I'm a one God, apostolic, tongue-talking, Holy Ghost, Holy Roller, something believer. I'm old. I can't remember it. I've been saved by the blood, washed by the blood. Da, 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 I can't remember it. Come on, Sister Ashley, sing it for me. Come on. I'm a one God, apostolic, tongue-talking, holy roller, bound believer in the liberated power of Jesus' name. I've been washed in the blood, sanctified by this. It's all coming back to me now. Come on now. I'm not ashamed. To be a one God, apostolic tongue talking, holy roller, born again, heaven bound believer in the liberated power of Jesus' name. Come on. 4 years old. Come on. I'm 47, so I've forgotten some of it, but it's all coming back to me now. I'm telling you, my message this morning is called The Face of Heaven. The Face of Heaven. And as they go back to their seats, could we pray right now? Lord Jesus, I pray that you would touch us. You may be seated, kids. Go back to where you came from. Amen. In the name of Jesus, touch our message today. Touch our hearts today. Oh, in the name of the Lord, in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You may be seated. The Face of Heaven. Our motivation here, our mission statement as a church is love is our why. It is why we do what we do. It is why we show up. It is why we come early. It's why we fellowship. It's why we come to hear the teaching of the Word because we love the Word. It's why we come to worship because we love to worship. That's why our teachers teach Sunday school is because they love children, they love God. It is why we go on the vans every Sunday and every Wednesday because we love people and we love we love God and we love what He loves. And so our motivation today is love. And those of you that are parents, you will agree with this statement that a new baby changes everything. Brother Ben, Sister Ashley, it won't be long. We're about 1 month from everything changing. They change your schedule. They change your habits. They change your sleep patterns. Anybody that claims they slept like a baby hasn't had a baby in a while. Because I don't want to sleep like a baby. I don't want to sleep 2 hours at a time and wake up crying, either hungry or dirty, right? We don't want to sleep like a baby. But here in the church, a growing church, a powerful church, a revival church is filled with new babies. Now, some of the babies would be children like we lined up across this place, but there's also other new babies in Christ that are just coming in, that are just learning about this beautiful walk. And new babies change everything. And for those of us that are older and set in our ways, it is a little harder for us to adjust to the changes. But I have news for us today and for myself as one of the older. I have news for us. We better get used to it. Because we are entering into a time of revival, not only with children, but with new babies coming off the street, coming into the house of God, and they're not going to know exactly how to clap and how to stand and how to be quiet and how to say amen, and they're not going to know exactly where to sit and when to sit, and they're not going to know exactly how to act, but you know what? That's what the kingdom of God is about. I want you to know that God wants people in the church that doesn't know anything about the church. Amen. Come on. If you go to a church and everybody looks like you and everybody acts like you and everybody knows exactly how to act and they know exactly how to dress, you better run for your life because that is not a revival church. Amen. When you come into a fruitful church, you're going to have babies literally in years, and you're going to have babies in the spirit. And those babies are not going to know exactly how to act like a grown, full Christian adult, but that's what we want. We want people to stand at the wrong time. We want people to run when it's not running time. We want people to cause chaos in the church because the kingdom is noisy. Amen. And so we're going to love them. We're going to love the little babies. We're going to love the adult babies as they come into the church. And we are going to take care of them. And we're going to disciple them. And we're going to teach them. And we're going to show them the way. Amen. The faces of our beautiful Way of Life kids. are the very face of heaven in our lives. If you want to touch Jesus, just love one of these children. Amen. I've been around children my whole ministry. We started in youth ministry, and then soon after that we moved to Tupelo Children's Mansion. And one of the most life-changing things I ever heard was we had a little girl that was, I think she was 3 or 4 years old. And she was brought to the mansion. It was a home for abused, neglected children. And she was abused and neglected both and had a terrible life, just 4 years old. And didn't really understand what a real home was like. And so we brought her into the front lobby. And I was a supervisor over all the house parents. We called them house parents. And she was going into a particular dorm. And our policy there is we would call in those house parents and have them come and meet the child. And when we introduced that little girl to her house mother and her house father, she ran, not knowing them at all. She ran across the room. She jumped up into the house father's lap and put her arms around his neck and said, "Can I call you daddy? Because I have never had a daddy." And of course, with tears running down all of our faces, he said through broken voice, "Of course, you can call me daddy." So from that moment until this, children has been a part of our ministry. And when we come down to give, we don't put this church down here just for no reason at all. We put that church there for two reasons. One, we put it there so that the kids understand that they're a part of the church too. And giving to the church is what being a part of the church does. Amen. And so we teach them to give. But not only that, if you'll notice, I'm always right there, and I know everyone is jealous because I get all the hugs on Sunday morning. Because I want them to know when they see me and when they hear me, that they hear love. That they see love. They understand that not just me, but Jesus loves them. That this church is for them. This is not just an appointment on a calendar. This is not just babysitting so their parents can have some free time at home. But this is the kingdom of God. And when they come into the kingdom of God, it is just as much theirs as it is yours. And this building, even though they don't have tithes to pay, and even though they don't have money to give, and even though they may not have talents to contribute, when they come into this house, this building is theirs just as much as it's yours and mine. Because the kingdom of heaven is like a little child. Oh, in the face of heaven, we look in their faces and we understand the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. And so when new people come in, whether they be adults or whether they be children, we are going to love them. Well, our children may not understand what is going on in our worship or our preaching. They may only catch a word here or there. The other day, my wife said she was sitting over here and the kids were talking and playing. And anyway, they weren't really paying attention. But somewhere in my message, I mentioned Adam and Eve. And I mentioned the word naked. Did he say naked? I know it's naked. I say it wrong. My wife always kids me about saying naked. I am from Texas. I say it wrong. Actually, I say it right. I'm from Texas. Amen. So they may not hear everything, but they heard that. It's kind of like some of you. You may not hear anything else I say, but let me make a mistake. And ooh, everybody's like, "Oh, yeah, look, we'll talk about it after church. We'll laugh about it. We'll post it on Facebook." Amen. Amen. So our children may not understand. They may not hear everything. They may not understand our worship and our preaching. They may not grasp the whys and the wherefores. But my desire is for them to walk out these doors with the understanding. I may not understand everything they do, but I understand one thing. My teacher loves me. The pastor standing up there preaching to me. He may be hollering and spitting and sputtering and getting excited, but somewhere along the line, he loves me. And so sometimes we take a snapshot of a disruptive child and we categorize them. Well, they're trouble, they're a problem. But I want you to know we're not wasting our time today. We are not going to waste our time because love never returns void. Amen. So this week, I'm a part of a group of ministers. I think there's almost 1,700 licensed ministers on a forum. And I just asked them, I said, just tell me some of your Bible, your bus kid stories. And one pastor in particular, his name is Patrick Fuller. He pastors in Florida. He said, brother, I'd be lost today if someone had not invited an unruly teenager to church. He said, I cut up, I picked fights, I kissed the girls, don't do that. Or tried to, he said. But when I got the Holy Ghost in that little church, those sweet people were huddled around me with tears in their eyes as I was gloriously filled with the Holy Ghost. He said, I didn't always live it, but I went to the military. And when I got out of the military, I came back 5 years later. And when I walked in the front door of that little church, he said, and this is his words, he says, that little old white-haired pastor walked right up to me and said, son, I've been praying for you. He said, I pray for you every day since you left. Welcome home. It all started by someone bringing him to church. Jerry Jones, not the owner of the Cowboys, he needs the Holy Ghost too, but I don't know if it would help the Cowboys, but anyway. But Brother Jerry Jones, the General Secretary of the United Pentecostal Church, been in the ministry for 47 years, pastored churches. He's been the General Secretary, the second highest position in all the organizations, the United Pentecostal Church, for 20 years. He was saved because somebody picked him up on their bus route and brought him to church. Merrill Cornwell, the district superintendent of Kansas District and the pastor of one of the largest churches in the United Pentecostal Church, they probably have close to 2,000 people that he is preaching to this morning, even as I speak, was saved because somebody picked him up on a bus. Sister Haney, our former general superintendent's wife, and her sister, Sister Magruder, and their brother were all reached because someone loved bus kids. David Klein, missionary to the Caribbean, he was brought to church on a bus. For 3 years, they picked him up before he received the Holy Ghost. A pastor named Curtis Howard pastors in Tennessee. He's now a presbyter. He was brought to church on a bus in St. Louis. He was won to God as a boy by a man named Denny Plock. When Brother Plock got ordained, Curtis Howard was the presbyter who laid hands on him and prayed the prayer of ordination. Gene Easterling, pastor in Ashland, Kentucky, was brought to church on a bus. Pastor Charles Johnson, he said this, I quote, I am a bus kid. I rode the van to Sunday school for the very first time in my life when I was 8 years old. I remember going 3 weeks in a row and learned my first scripture. I won the lucky seat prize. One Sunday school lesson was about Jesus being our lifesaver. We all got a big pack of lifesavers. My mama used to give us those for Christmas every year. The big book of lifesavers. I also remember going into the big church, he said one Sunday, wow, is all I could say. He says, my parents didn't take us to church, but they did. They didn't stop me from going. So here I am 40 years later because some bus worker knocked on my door in Northern Virginia and offered to take me to Sunday school. Bruce Howell, a man close to our hearts because we love global missions. He's a former missionary to El Salvador, where tens of hundreds of thousands of people have been filled with the Holy Ghost. He has been the global missions director for almost 20 years over the greatest growth in the United Pentecostal Church that the mission department has ever seen. And it was all because he was brought to church on a bus. His mom was an alcoholic. His dad was non-existent. And there, his life was changed. And so I offer you this morning, both to the adults and to the kids, if you're here today, and you may be with your parents or you may not be with your parents today. Maybe you came on the van. Maybe someone that you love brought you. It doesn't matter. I want you to know that God can transform your life because your face is the face of heaven. He said, suffer the little children to come unto me. And then he instructed everyone around them. He said, hey, unless you become like one of these, you can't enter in. You can't see it. You can't experience it. But I want you to become as a little child. And so I say today, not only to our children, but to every adult in the house, I want you to know that the love of God is in this place. And He receives you no matter what circumstance you're in. If you have money or if you don't have money. If you're living with two parents or you're living with one. If you're living with somebody else that is not your parent. If you're here today in a nice car, or if you came on the van, it doesn't really matter to God. Every soul is important. Every soul is valuable. Every family is valuable. And we're going to love you, and God loves you. And when we look into your face today, we see the face of Jesus. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. Jesus loves the little children of the world, red and yellow and black and white. They are precious in His sight. Amen. And except we become like one, except we become humble and faithful and full of wonder. I think the problem with some of us is that we've become so jaded. I heard somebody say that the problem with the church is that too many saints have become consumers instead of servers. Amen. This is not a grocery store you come to get what you want and check out and leave. This is a kingdom that we serve in. I'm not here just to receive, and I do receive, but I'm here to give. I'm here to give them my time, my talent, my treasure, my love, my efforts. I'm here to love somebody into the church. Amen. I remember in my life the people that made an impact in my life, that took time for me, that looked in my eyes. I remember my Sunday school teacher. He was a poor guy. He had a bunch of almost teenage boys and teenage boys. His name is Brother Charlie Morris. He goes to church on the other side of town now, but when I see him, I hug his neck because I remember him doing his best through the giggling and talking and throwing things and all the general chaos. He opened the Word of God to me, and he taught me. I remember Sister Gay as she sat there teaching me when I was a little child. I remember her. I remember Brother Bivens, he taught me. He was the one that taught me. I'm a one God, apostolic, tongue-talking, holy roller, born-again, heaven-bound believer in the liberated power of Jesus' name. I remember the little prizes. I remember saying a verse, and we got to pick, and I got a big plastic Buffalo nickel. Man, it was like you handed me $100 bill. It was just a piece of plastic, just a hunk of plastic, worth nothing. But I remember that. I remember my other teacher, Sister Rhonda, and she brought out coffee cans. She had taken coffee cans and she had wrapped them with paper. And she had pencils, and we would play the drums on the top of those coffee cans. I remember all the songs. I'm in the Lord's army. Jesus loves me. This I know. I've got the joy down in my heart. It's bubbling in my soul. I remember the little birdie with the yellow bill that hopped up on my windowsill. I remember when I was 11, February 27th, 1982, when I finally made myself come down and made my way to the altar. A young man that could not stand to stand in front of anyone, that would get sick, class reports and spelling bees, and I just couldn't stand it. I know it's hard to believe now, but I remember kneeling down, repenting of my sin, lifting my hands, and God gloriously filling me with the power of the Holy Ghost. And at age 11, I began to speak with a new tongue as the Spirit gave me the ability. And I got up from my knees and speaking in tongues. I danced from one side of that altar to the other. My life forever changed. I remember the next day standing at the bus stop with one of my friends, and his look he gave me when I told him, "I received the Holy Ghost last night." And he thought I was crazy. But I didn't care. I remember. It's all because of Sunday school. I remember when I got here, a little over 8 years ago. Come give them a little hope, Brother Ben. I'm almost done. And we were having our first Heritage Sunday where we celebrate what God has done through our past and brought it forward. And I was looking through old pictures, and all of a sudden I saw a face that I recognized. It was a red face and a bald head. White hair that was white as my shirt around the sides, blowing in the wind. And he was standing at the far corner of what we call the fellowship center, but it was the sanctuary at the time. He was a bricklayer, and he had been hired to put bricks out there on that wall. And I realized who it was. And I traced it back to the time that he was doing it. And what he had no way of knowing, and what I had no way of knowing, is that while on Sunday morning, Brother Bivens was teaching me a silly song to sing as fast as I could sing, that Monday through Friday, he was driving across the Metroplex with his bricklaying masonry tools to build the church that I would ultimately have the privilege to pastor. So on Sunday, he was building me. And on Monday, he was building the church. And what he had no way of knowing when he looked into that little boy's face that was not always quiet, not always still, and not always respectful, that when he looked in my eyes, that he was looking into the future pastor's eyes. So teachers, I say today, who are you teaching? Who knows? Sitting here as a missionary, sitting here as a Sunday school teacher, sitting here is a pastor, a pastor's wife. Sitting here is a global missions director, a general secretary. sitting here is the potential. But the key is love. It's love. And so, yeah, we're gonna organize, and yeah, we're gonna keep things in a little less than chaos, hopefully, but we're not gonna stop. Song we used to sing says, I dreamed I went to heaven and you were there with me. We walked upon the streets of gold and beside the crystal sea. We heard the angels singing, and then someone called your name. You turned and saw this young man, and he was smiling as he came. He said, friend, you may not know me now. But then he said, but wait, you used to teach my Sunday school when I was only 8. And every week you would say a prayer before the class would start. And one day when you said that prayer, I asked Jesus in my heart, thank you for giving to the Lord. The second verse says, then another man stood before you. He said, remember the time a missionary came to your church and his pictures made you cry. You didn't have much money, but you gave it anyway. He took the gift you gave, and that's why I'm here today. So thank you. One by one, they came as far as the eyes could see, each life somehow touched by your generosity. Little things that you have said and done, sacrifices made. They were unnoticed on earth, but in heaven now proclaimed. And I know that up in heaven you're not supposed to cry, but I am almost sure there were tears in your eyes. And Jesus took your hand and you stood before the Lord. He said, my child, look around you, because great is your reward. Let my reward not be jewels in my crown. Let it not be a bigger mansion. Let it not be a more prominent place. But let my reward be souls today. Let my reward be people that I loved. Let my reward be thank yous. Oh, could we stand? I look in the face of heaven today. I look in the face of heaven today. Amen. This altar is open. If you can become like a little child, you can enter the kingdom. If you can love a little child, you can love Jesus. If you can receive a little child, you can receive Jesus. Amen. Can we come? Can we come? Love bears all things. Love believes all things. Love hopeth all things. It endureth all things. Love never fails. Love doesn't seek its own. Oh, give me the face of heaven today. Oh, let me look into the face of heaven. Let me see Jesus. Oh, you gave a cup of water in my name. You clothed me when I was naked. You cared for me when I was lost. But Jesus, when did I do it? When you did it to the least. When you did it to the least, you did it to me. Oh, Yaraboya. I believe some children are going to receive the Holy Ghost today. Children, all you have to do is ask Jesus to forgive you. Children, listen to me. Just ask Jesus to forgive you and then lift your hands and tell him thank you like you're receiving a gift, because that's what the Holy Ghost is. It's a gift. It's the Spirit of God coming in your life. You don't have to understand everything. You don't have to know everything. But you can just thank him today. Adults, if you need the Holy Ghost today, it's just as easy for you. Could you receive it in faith today? Could you receive it in faith today? Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. The face of heaven, the face of heaven. Love is a way of life. Sacrifice is a way of life. Amen, amen. Love them. Love them.